Hey, y'all, just before we get into the show today, just wanted to send a quick note out. First of all, thanking you guys for downloading, listening, commenting with us, enjoying the banter, as they say, on Twitter and everything. Thanks so much for supporting the show. Appreciate everything you guys do for us. And if you want to continue supporting the show, don't donate to our Patreon account because we don't have one. Instead, go to iTunes, tell a friend, rate us 5 stars, do anything you can. Anything you can do to help the show basically helps more people be able to listen to it, which is what we want. We just want to grow the Atlanta United fan base community. We want to help people understand what's happening in games. And if you want that as well, then help us out. So other than that, also on Twitter, just go on. If there's something you want to hear out of these preview shows, we're still trying to feel them out a little bit. Tell us, please give us some feedback. If there's something you want to hear more about, if there's something you want to hear less about, just let us know. Just shoot us a note and we would appreciate any feedback you have for us. So with that out of the way, let's get right into the show.
It's an absolute peach from the Paraguayan, Miguel Almirón.
Cross it in, looking for Garza, backside and in for the first goal in Atlanta United history from Yamil Assad.
Take a look at history.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to 5 Stripe Final Before the Final Rose, the only highly distributed audio discussion discussing all things Atlanta United, this time the preview show edition. J. Sam Jones here from Dirty South Soccer, Joe Patrick from over there at Dirty South Soccer. Joe Patrick, it's been too long.
It's been almost 24 hours since our last discussion.
The most painful 23 and a half hours of my entire life, to be honest with you. Gosh. So much has happened since then.
You don't want to know one thing that's happened since then?
What's that?
I opened up our show sheet that we used to share, and the whole thing is in Comic Sans.
I wonder
what have
who
you
did that.
What is going
Some
on here?
Some wily genius must have messed with that.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Made it, I don't know. It's an enjoyable font, in my opinion.
Playful.
So playful. It's a great word for it. Playful. Just like the nature of this show. I think.
We needed some pizzazz. So, we needed to kind of like get ourselves amped up for this. So Comic Sans, I guess that does the trick.
Oh, if you're not already amped up for this one, you very much should be, Joe Patrick. We got a banger coming your way. 5 Stripes taking on Sporting Kansas City, the leaders in the Western Conference, facing off against the Supporters Shield leading Atlanta United. Big one coming up. This one starts at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday night, right there in the Benz. You can watch it on TV if you can't make it to the stadium at Fox Sports South. Going to be a whole lot of fun and a really, really interesting matchup, especially, I think, from an attacking standpoint in a lot of ways. Kansas City coming in as probably the best attacking team in the league, maybe definitely in the Western Conference, but
yeah.
Possibly in the league as well.
Yeah, I think definitely, yeah, like you said, definitely in the West, I think. They're right up there with us and New York Red Bulls, I think, for kind of the most attacking teams, and NYCFC, I guess, if you want to throw them in there. It's so hard to judge NYCFC because of that stadium they play in. There's some really weird score lines, but they've had a great start to the season. SKC has Sporting Kansas City. So, it should be really interesting. And I've been kind of pegging this one for a few weeks now as one that was going to tell us a lot about this team in Atlanta United. And just it's going to tell us a lot about Sporting Kansas City. Are they for real? They've played a pretty easy schedule, I believe, so far this season. So, I think we're going to learn a lot from this game about both teams and just about the league in general.
Be a very nice barometer. It'd be a very nice barometer for what this defense can do. I think with this Atlanta United defense has kind of outperformed expectations in a lot of ways. We'll talk more about that later. We'll also talk a lot more about just exactly what Kansas City does in attack, but just kind of looking at their base stats, their rankings within the league right now, second in possession overall, 56.9% of possession going their way. Looking at overall shots per game, 18.4 shots per game, which is far and away the best in the league. They're clattering in a lot of shots and opportunities over and over again. It's just kind of like that they're bludgeoning you to death with shot after shot after shot. They're also right now the best passing team in the league with the highest completion percentage of passages, just right above Toronto. So right near the top in a whole lot of categories, near the top in goals scored, of course, too, near the top in expected goals, if you're in kind of an analytical kind of look at it. They're just very, very good going forward. And if a lot of the reason is because they just have so many pieces that work very, very well together and interchange very, very well together. There's not really one guy you can really look at. There's a few guys you can pick out, which we'll talk about later. Just Johnny Russell's a name to remember, especially because I love Johnny Russell already. I've fallen in love over the last few hours of research with Johnny Russell.
Scottish Messi.
Scottish Messi, essentially. He's got a very, if you're into college football, like a Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield kind of swaggy white guy thing going on, which I'm really super about. He's the man. He's going to give us a lot of issues. We'll talk more about him later. But yeah, it's just going to be one of those ones where I think both of us have kind of differing opinions on how it can go. And neither of us are, you know, really correct.
Yeah.
I think at this point, we just have no idea.
I like that we kind of independently came up with what we thought was going to happen in this game. And I think we think very different things. But I have a fun fact for you. Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sporting Kansas City led MLS in percentage of possession last season. How about that?
Really?
How about that?
Didn't know that.
That's a little tidbit. Share it with your family and friends.
Yeah, for sure. What's interesting is they're doing a lot more with the possession this year, just as, especially from a statistical standpoint. You know, the expected goals is way, way up. The goals per game is way, way up. The defensive stats actually down for Kansas City, which is kind of surprising. They're allowing a little more than we're kind of used to seeing. And again, we'll get into that a little bit further. But first, just something you may need to know right off the top of the bat. They just gave a contract extension to their manager, Vermes. 51-year-old head coach for Kansas City. He started as technical director in 2006 for them when they were still the Wiz. okay, never mind. So many jokes. So little time. Takes over as manager in 2009, right when they switched to the stupid Sporting name, which we'll complain about much later
yeah.
in the show when we get to Hate Watch.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, for sure. So dumb. So dumb. But from then, he's taken them to four trophies, 2013 MLS Cup, 2012, 2015, 2017, U.S. Open Cup winners, has 121 wins with SKC, 150 wins overall in his coaching career, just reached that the other day. So just something to keep in mind with them is they've got a guy who's been established there, and he's really kind of implementing his best tactics right now, I think. One of the interesting things Harris Kriskic was talking about when talking with the Sporting Kansas City folks from over at their SB Nation blog. I have no idea what it's called.
I'm not sure either. Something about a river, I want to say.
Really?
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know. You'll find out tomorrow.
Rivers in Kansas? I don't care. But we're saying that the tactics haven't really changed for what they're doing. They've just gotten better at implementing them and have the pieces to kind of make it fit.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind on. Go ahead.
And you left out the most important part, in my opinion, about Peter Vermes, which is that he looks just like the bad guy in Avatar. Or also the lead commander in Small Soldiers, a critically acclaimed film from the 90s or early 2000s.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool.
You haven't seen Small Soldiers, have you?
I have no idea what that is. was I even born when that came out?
Man.
Sorry.
Who could forget the battle against the Gorgonites, right? I guess you.
Me, apparently.
Yeah. Well, hopefully some of our listeners will pick up on
How do you remember characters in Avatar? Name one character. Like, what was his name? Name a character.
I don't know. He was the bad guy. He was the guy who wanted to, like, cut down the forest or whatever. He has, like, a flat top. He's like a commander who flew a plane. He had a gray flat top. I'll tweet out a comparison picture. We'll see what the readers think.
What a pointless, shiny movie. It's like finding a piece of currency from a country that has no value here, but still looks really nice. And you have this thing, but it doesn't really actually mean anything, but it sure looks nice. Yeah. It sure looks pretty. That's Avatar.
Yeah. And Vermes has like the craziest dress game in the league. He wears like these crazy ass suits that are, they're pretty, what's the word for this? It's imposing, I guess, is I would say. They're very like big ass.
Is he dressing like a mafia?
Big ass Windsor
knot.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's got like a checkered pattern on the suit or something. Sometimes, you know, just like a very a very power suit kind of guy. Peter Vermes.
Gotcha. You dress how you play, and you dress how you coach.
I think you say that. I think there actually is something to that. Like, his teams are always incredibly well drilled, incredibly what's the word, disciplined. Well-disciplined. They know what to do, how to carry out his tactical plan. You have to give him credit. I've been giving him some crap for the way he looks, and I'm just poking fun at him, really, because I do think he is a really good manager. Yeah, like I said, his teams always give a lot in a game. You don't have many easy games against Sporting Kansas City, so yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough test for us, to be honest.
Well, looking at SKC's last few games, it's been pretty successful for the most part for them. Last game, a 1-0 win against Colorado. Before that, they went on the road and actually lost to New England, which is a real bad loss for them. They can sometimes struggle on the road, just like any other MLS team. They haven't been super successful. And if you want to have something to say about that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, with these bad teams, especially like one in New England, like a New England team, yeah, it's a bad loss to go up there and lose. But New England's been better this year. And, you know, New England going up into that stadium, it's like this big, quiet, cavernous place. And I can totally see how decent teams kind of go there, up there and fall asleep and then get caught off guard, especially with what Brad Friedel's doing with the New England Revolution, with a real high press this year and a real aggressive approach to the game. So, that's something that's going to happen from teams time to time. I mean, we drew against New England last year. Granted, it was like our ninth game in 30 days or something, but that's something that's going to happen. But I think SKC, you know, they've been in great form overall. They're obviously first place in the West, so I'm not going to use that result as like a something to hold against them.
Speaking of that New England game, do you know who scored, if you had to guess?
For SKC?
No, the 1-0 New England win.
Sporting. Who scored? Teal Bunbury.
Teal Bunbury.
Am I right?
Exactly right. Our friend. He's no Keegan Rosenberry, but yeah. Teal Bunbury still holding a dear, dear place in our heart in the MLS name game. Right before that, and this is maybe the last game we really talk about with Sporting Kansas City from the last few games. We will mention that they went on the road and beat LA Galaxy and tied at home with Seattle, which is another not super a strange result for them, I feel like, especially the way with Seattle's been playing. But right before losing to New England, they just absolutely thrashed Vancouver. Vancouver's tallness could do nothing on the night. And it was kind of a personal vendetta. A personal destruction. It was like Darth Vader in the hallway scene in Rogue One, where he's just chopping people down. It was like Wyatt Earp in Tombstone, where hell was coming, and he was coming with it and just destroying the Cowboys and everything like that. Johnny Russell, the man, just destroying Vancouver. My gosh, he scores the first two goals. And then gets into a fight, essentially instigates this fight, and Vancouver ends up on the other side with it with two red cards out of that fight. So they're down to nine just because Johnny Russell doing Johnny Russell things. Then a few minutes later, he goes out and draws a penalty, and it was just, it was a rout. Johnny Russell was amazing.
You know what I call that? One of the worst beatdowns. Intangibles. Great intangibles on Johnny Russell.
But not the way that, like, Alpharetta Dad would, like, appreciate.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know? It's not like Tim Tebow intangibles. It's a very much different kind of swaggy.
We're on a different spectrum of intangibles here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dark side, like you said.
Exactly. So, you know, a decent results for Kansas City over the last few games. Again, that New England loss, kind of the outlier for most of their season. To be honest, again, they're at the top of the Western Conference, and it's going to be a heck of a battle.
I mean, do you want to talk about some of their underlying numbers real quick? I mean, this can be pretty boring podcast fodder, HDAD fodder, to kind of talk about the analytics here, but they've had some, like, really, I don't know, they just have strange numbers for their results this season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. We talked about them taking a lot of shots. They've taken 186 shots, to put that into context. That's 46 more than the next closest team in Columbus, and 55 more than we've taken all year.
That's crazy. That's like a 25%. Like, that's like 25% more than second place. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, an amount for of sure. Shots. It's a ton of shots. However, in getting kind of deep into the analytics stuff here, have we ever? Well, I guess we should explain the concept of expected goals before we kind of get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Expected goals in the simplest kind of way. To think about it is how often are the shots you taken turning into goals?
Generally, how often would a certain shot be a goal? You know?
And then they assign a number value to that.
Yeah.
Essentially based on
percentages. Up to one. But you would never see an actual one, because that would mean it scored 100% of the time, which is never the case. So I think like the highest you would ever see a goal rated is like probably like high 80%, like 0.8 something. A penalty right. is 0.8. That's how they typically rate those. So
for sure.
Yeah.
In a lot of places tend to take out penalties when talking about the actual expected goal output. You may be saying, why isn't there one? You know, anyone could score from, you know, right in front of the goal. Well, I remind you that Fernando Torres does exist. so, you know, it's not a perfect way of showing exactly what kind of chances you're getting, but it's a very, very good way of showing what kind of chances you're creating and how much total output you should be getting from the shots you're taking.
Right.
Now, again, we've mentioned that Sporting Kansas City has taken way, way more shots than everybody else, and naturally that's going to build up over time into a high number of expected goals per game. However, Atlanta actually has more expected goals per game than Sporting Kansas City at this point, even with the lower amount of shots, simply because when Atlanta takes shots, they're in really good places to take those shots.
Exactly. So to recap, we would have expected, even though they've outshot us by a very considerable margin over the course of the season, we still would have been expected to score more goals than them. So, I mean, in my opinion, the reason why is because their buildup is just so slow. Like I said, they control the ball really well. They led MLS in possession last year, but they do it in such a methodical fashion that it gives the opposition time to just recoil and bunker back in their own box. And that's what we did against them when we played them last year in KC. We were just bunkering for the most part, and we were able to break at times, and we scored like a last gasp equalizing goal right at the end there. But yeah, I think it's kind of a flaw in their style, is that they just don't capitalize quickly enough, like on counterattacking opportunities.
And to clarify, I'm talking about the expected goals per shot is what they're actually getting. Their expected goals per game, because they do have so many shots, is a little bit higher than us. I don't think I clarified that well enough. They are like 0.9 higher than us, but we're still getting way less shots. Success rate on shots for all our shots is 13% on the year if you take out the penalties. Theirs is 11%. And that's with penalties included. And they've had a few because Johnny Russell gets a penalty like every other game, because he's amazing and I love him and I want him to adopt me. So it's just one of those interesting things. They're gonna probably have the majority of possession. I think you said that earlier today, Joe. Sporting is gonna have the majority of the ball, especially if we come out in a 3-5-2, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I said in our writer's room earlier today, I would just be stunned if we actually had more possession in the game tomorrow or Wednesday than Sporting Kansas City. They're just so good at possessing. And I think that based on what we've seen from Tata Martino in this 3-5-2, he's pretty much happy to do that. I don't know if happy is the right word to do it,
begrudgingly.
He's willing to be pragmatic about it at this point and try to hit teams on the counter. Now, having said that, he could very well come out in a 4-2-3-1 tomorrow. He rested Tito Vijalba for almost the entirety of the game on the weekend. I think that means he's starting. That's just my personal opinion. And if he's starting, I don't see who you would sub for. I think he subbed Joseph Martinez out early in the game because he's obviously going to be starting unless you're going to sit Barco or Almiron. I can't understand that.
It's maybe your two best players right now,
yeah.
Especially Almiron, who's the best player in MLS right now.
Yeah. So So I think we actually are going to start on a 4-2-3-1, but I still think that since you know we're still new to it this season, really, we've only played it in one game. I do think that we won't be super fluid in it yet, and Sporting will have the majority of the possession.
One of the sillier aspects that kind of comes from Sporting having so much possession and taking so many shots is that they have 71 corners taken on the year, which to compare that to Atlanta has 36. So double what Atlanta has as far as corner output. Sporting has double that. And they've scored two times on corners, which is about league average for what they're getting. So it probably won't come into play too much. Just kind of a strange result of that. Interestingly, Sporting Kansas City yet to score on any crosses, despite all that possession, all the shots, everything like that. Nothing, none of that's coming from crosses, which I think kind of plays in what you were talking about their playing style.
Yeah, I wonder how many crosses they attempt too, because, you know, with I don't know if it's really part of Vermees' style or not. It seems like they're a team who want to pick and probe and move the ball around and try to put a through ball in as opposed to whipping in a cross. But everyone here knows that Graham Zuzzi loves himself a cross. So, yeah, but they clearly don't work that efficiently. And if they've only scored 2 goals in 71 attempts, I mean, on corners, assuming they're not doing short corners like a smart person would, that doesn't seem like that's going to be much of a threat.
Shout out short corners, for sure. For sure. We've been too nice. Let's talk about what they're not doing well.
Okay.
How about that?
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
Their defense has taken a dip. Last year, they were known, I think, around the league for being very pragmatic is a great word for it. Very defensive minded. What was our game like against them? I'm trying to remember. It was Jacob Peterson. Jacob Peterson coming from the dead from that injury he had for like 3 months coming up to score the tying goal.
Yeah.
Was it like a 1-1?
Brandon Vazquez like headed it to him. It was like off of like a stupid set piece or something. It was off a corner or a throw in or something like that. Mm-hmm. Brandon Vazquez got his head to a ball and like nodded it on, and Jacob Peterson, just went through and slotted it on against his old team. Didn't celebrate.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
That was a great string of games where we kept scoring stoppage time equalizers.
Yeah.
And it was from people like Jacob Peterson and Ty Mears from a flipping header from the edge of the box, which was the single dumbest goal all year.
Oh, my gosh. That was insane. But I think that was that when we played Sporting Kansas City, that was during a stretch where we had like one game in 46 days or something. Like we had just had like no games. Our players were just like on yachts in Miami, just like, just taking it easy. It was what a strange part of the season that was.
Mm-hmm. It was content starved too, from our perspective. Good Lord.
Yeah. I remember it was probably the ugliest game I've watched Atlanta United play.
It was cluttered the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's what we expected from Sporting this year. This year, not quite as pragmatic. I don't know if it's just kind of a symptom of them being a little more attack-minded, or if it's just the personnel has changed enough to where they're getting forward more, they're pressing higher, and the defenders have gotten worse. You've still got Matt Beisler back there, who's been pretty bad this year, especially just looking at his ratings by game. Just really been struggling back there. Mm. Looking at their expected goals allowed, so this is the goals they would... The shots they're allowing and how many goals that would translate into from the opposing team. They're seventh in the league, right around 1.38 goals allowed per game. That's good enough for last year. That would have had them finish 15th in the league, which is the same as San Jose and Orlando City, who are both terrible.
Yeah, pretty average.
San Jose, still my favorite team from last year. For making the playoffs with like a negative 31 goal differential.
San Jose made the playoffs last year?
Yeah. On the last day of the season. Let me look that up because it's still the greatest story in MLS history. The defense just hasn't been, the output hadn't been there, I guess.
Yeah.
12 goals over there at their games they've played this year, which is, more than Atlanta, more than New York City FC, more than the other teams at the top of the Supporters Shield race right now, which is kind of strange. It's not what you expect.
You want to get into their roster a little bit? Just talk about some of the players to look out for. They have let's start with one of the players we won't want to be looking out for. This is a big loss for them. Felipe Gutierrez. I think I've heard someone, maybe it was you, say that they've basically been comparing him. He's like their Miguel Almiron. Like he's like their do everything. Attacking midfielder, has had a great season. Well, he's going to be out now. Sports hernia. That's right. Yeah. He's going to be out for a couple months at least, starting right about now. So that's good for us that they won't have him.
Hey, at least he got like one of those athletic hernias, not one of the, I guess, a work hernia or something like that. He did it doing something athletic, so sports hernia.
Is that what it means? I don't know.
No clue. Why the hell is it a sports hernia?
It's not like an old man hernia where you like cough too hard or something.
Exactly. good for Felipe. Felipe, very good, though. He's only made five appearances this year since he's been out for a little while. But just in those five appearances, five goals for him on the season. He has a whole bunch of key passes. He's one of those kind of do-it-all kind of guys. And over those five games, he was their best player. And now he's out. I believe the diagnosis is like 2 to 3 months with that very super athletic sports hernia that he has. So that's a big, big loss for them. By the way, just so we can clarify, San Jose, sixth seed last year, minus 21 goal differential.
That's amazing.
The single greatest team in MLS.
That's so MLS.
You know who they finished with just 3 points less?
Who?
Sporting Kansas City. So a team with a minus 21 goal differential was very, very close to equaling the points total of Sporting Kansas City last year.
MLS, strange place. MLS is a fickle league.
Gotta love it.
So we've talked about Johnny Russell. We kind of mentioned Graham Zuzi. Graham Zuzi, your former legendary, quote-unquote legendary U.S. men's national team right back.
I don't think we've talked enough about Johnny Russell. Okay. I'd like to talk more about Johnny freaking Russell.
Talk about the Derby County lad.
Yeah, he's a Scottish dude in this 4-3-3 that Vermes has been instituting, which is just his natural thing. He's been playing on the right side. Very, very flairsy, flashy, whatever you want to call it. He had a stunning, stunning goal against Los Angeles where he just destroyed, first off, I'm Ashley Cole, and just flicked the ball over him inside the 18 after making a long run, cut back inside, picked the ball over an outstretched foot, and then chipped it over the keeper. He scored a few just cutting in from the wing like that are just stunning, where he chips it over the keeper like that.
Would you say it was Messi-esque?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's this like burly-looking 28-year-old Scottish dude with red hair and tattoos up and all down his arm.
Barrel-chested, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. He was, interestingly, very, very close to not playing soccer anymore 2 years ago. Just said it wasn't fun anymore. He was over at Derby County.
It was too easy. Played. It was too easy.
Well, the thing was, he wasn't doing that well at Derby County. He 182 games played for Derby, just 30 goals. He comes to Sporting Kansas City, 5 goals in his first 10 games. He says he's having fun again. His teammates have started to like him, apparently, due to the fact that he gets into fights. The fight during the Vancouver game was like his big like welcoming moment into the side, apparently, according to our friends over at the Kansas City Star. So yeah, he's just a really flashy white dude, which is fun. It's kind of fun to watch. 2.9 dribbles per game for him, most on the team. 3.5 shots per game is most on the team. He creates by himself a lot, and he's just gonna be. He's going to be a nuisance in a big way. It's going to be interesting to see how either, you know, the combination of Garza and Leandro over there, or just Garza kind of by himself in the left wing, handles him.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Or, say with me, put Chris McCann out there, Scott on Scott, kind of violence.
Chris McCann's Irish.
Yeah, but is there... I'm not
British. They're sure. They're from the United Kingdom. Maybe
that's actually.
I don't know. I don't know how England works. How someone explain to me how Britain works. Like, what's the difference between Great Britain and the United Kingdom? There is some difference.
Terrible podcast fodder. I will explain it to you.
There is some difference
because I actually know the difference.
Wales is involved somehow.
Yes, that's all I'll say. I'll talk to you after.
Okay.
Also going to have to look out, of course, for Graham Zuzi. We talked a bit about him. He's getting off a lot of shots per game just from that right back position that he's been playing. Making a lot of key passes per game, too. 2.1 key passes per game, which are passes that result in some kind of chance, which is really, really impressive from a right back position. No assist yet, but still making a lot of passes that get people involved. This attacking side for Kansas City, interesting in that their goals don't come from the guy in the middle, you know. Joseph Martinez is very, very important to what we do, how we get goals. It's coming from the two guys on the wings. You've got Johnny Russell, of course, and then Daniel Shallowy is his name, is a 21-year-old left winger who's been doing very, very well for them so far. 2 goals, 4 assists for him. 4 assists is tied for first on the team. He was first team MLS and player of the week last week, had a whole bunch of shots against Colorado. Only got one of them in, but had a couple go off the bar. He had 8 shots last week against Colorado. and created three chances as well. So a really solid performance from
them. Very reliant on their wingers, but they don't play like wingers. You know, they're more like the modern inside forward, if you will, who are cutting inside, and they're basically playing like strikers. I mean, their job is to score goals and create chances. But they're not going to be guys who are, you know, staying wide and hugging the touchline. They're going to be driving into the box on those diagonal runs looking for passes.
Yeah. It just kind of feels like the attack is not a whole bunch of big pieces trying to do a whole lot of big things. It's a bunch of smaller parts working together for the sum of the whole. Just all of a sudden you have all these people coming at you and you don't quite know how to handle it because so many of these pieces are so good getting forward. For Sporting Kansas City, it's not a team that has a whole lot of stars, but still, gets the job done.
And that's why you got to credit Peter Vermees. I mean, he, like I said, he has the team well drilled, and he always like they're never terrible. You know, like they're always decent. And I think that's it's because he has a system that he can implement, and he's able to do it with whatever players he has at his disposal. So, yeah, you got to give them a lot of credit, and they're always going to be a threat for sure.
For sure, for sure. They're going to line up in that 4-3-3. They're not going to press us as much as maybe some other teams. They're not super involved in the press, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah. So a lot of times when we think about a team that plays high possession, we think about a team that presses a lot because they're going to be winning the ball back quickly and keeping the ball. But like you said, they're not that kind of team. Basically, what they want to do is they want to keep the ball as a form of defense. But when they actually don't have the ball, they will retreat and form a solid shape. Trying not to concede on the counter because they are exposed to that kind of attack, you know, with so many players pushed forward with the ball, they're definitely exposed to a counter attack against a quick team. So when they lose the ball, they're going to retreat quickly. So they're not a team that's going to come out and press us. And that could frustrate us, I think.
Yeah, for sure. We've seen that a couple of times just with teams sitting back like that. But when they do get the ball, they're not going to try to counter a whole lot on us. Opta does a lot of the stat work for MLS. Kind of has some trouble keeping track of these kind of things as far as counterattacking stats. But they only have one fast break shot, quotation marks, just a shot that's on a big counter like that that leads to an open chance. Zero goals on that. For comparison, Atlanta, five fast break shots, three goals resulting in that. So you can kind of tell the difference in styles there, especially just with the pace of the attack going forward.
Agree.
Usually, yeah, something to
seemed like a it seemed like a declarative statement to me. So
fair enough. One of the interesting things in Bobby Warshaw had a really interesting article about this this week, just about how the interplay works for Sporting Kansas City, and he noted especially the tactics on the right side of the pitch. He compared it to some of the tactical play that Pep Guardiola's Man City side does. But it's very much interchanging parts up and down the field. And you see it with Graham Zusi moving up from right back. He'll move centrally a lot of the time. If you look at his heat map, he's moving a lot more centrally than other right backs will. He's moving in and out as they kind of go up and down the field. You'll have Espinoza as the right midfielder there as well, and Johnny Russell on that right side. It causes them just a lot of problems just because they're moving in and out.
Yeah, that seems like a modern, kind of like a modern tactical adaptation of the fullback, I think. A lot more managers are using the fullback as a more central player with the ball, basically because it gives you a little more solidity against the counterattack without that fullback being pushed way up high up the field on the wing. To have them be more central, they're still able to recycle possession offensively, but then, you know, when the ball turns over, they're in a better position to help defend.
Yeah, and when you look at Graham Zusi leading the team in key passes, that plays a big part of it. If he's moving centrally, he's able to maybe find those channels for key passes a little easier.
Exactly.
It's not a new concept. It's not anything that's reinventing the wheel. It's just a lot of teams in MLS don't have the talent or the coaching to effectively use it.
Right.
With Vermees and with Russell and, you know, the talented right side of this Kansas City team, it's been very, very effective for him. And it's one of the reasons their attack has been so effective, because you just don't know where the attacking movement is going to come from, who it's going to come from.
Yeah. It's like Philip Lahm, I think he was kind of the first fullback I heard of that was doing that kind of thing. But it makes sense when you think about Zusi, like basically right now in his career, he doesn't have the stamina and the speed to be playing like a modern, the quote unquote modern fullback who's flying up and down the wing. So I think it suits his game. I mean, he's a passer. He's good technically. Just doesn't have a lot more left physically to give. But yeah, you want to put him in the best position possible. So I think that's kind of the middle of the field. So, yeah.
All right. Well, enough about those losers. Let's talk about us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about us. Injury updates, it's kind of the same as Chicago. Nothing really to have for you there. Do we have anything on Franco?
I heard that the injury is a rib injury, not a concussion-related injury. But I still, you know, I would be pretty surprised if he just came back into this game and played. Based on kind of the little I've heard about what's coming out. So I think McCann will probably be back in there. I think I said after in the show, in the HDAD that released last night, that we would not see McCann. But considering Franco isn't going to be able to play, and I think Garza is definitely not going to play. I just don't think he's going to play because of his injury situation in the past. I think McCann will. I would not be surprised if we see McCann playing left back in a 4-2-3-1. I'll go out there and say that's what I'm going to predict as the starting formation.
So we're going to see that Scott Irish matchup I was talking earlier.
Scottish Irish. Okay, I thought you just said the Scottish matchup.
Oh yeah, I did. I'm correcting now though.
Oh okay. So I heard correctly. Gotcha.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, that could play a large, if both those guys are out, that could play a large part into us going back.
Seems like the most reasonable thing to me, but you know, you could play a 3-5-2 with McCann in the back three and then Garza. If you basically probably have to play either Garza or Ambrose at that point. And you could, I mean, maybe he will play Garza. Who knows? I mean, I know Taka, he wants to play Garza. Like he wants to play his best 11, but we'll see. We'll see what he decides.
I wasn't as concerned about Franco because of Darren Ilza's tweet after the game about Brad Guzan hating Franco for stealing his parking spot or something goofy like that, which, haha, funny, we're joking about it. That tweet has since been deleted, which is very, very concerning.
And Franco Escobar is dead.
Golly, man.
Okay, no. But he might miss a game, though, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Come on, Darren.
Darren. Gosh, man. Don't jump the cart or whatever. I don't know what the saying is. That's pretty much it for us. We're going to do the same thing. It is what it is. We're going to,
Just I don't know. There isn't anything to say. Anybody who's been watching us play knows what to expect from us. So,
yeah. You just kind of hope it pays off.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me say this, how I think the game is going to go out, how the game is going to play out, which is that I think we'll play a 4-2-3-1, and I think that it will actually not end up looking that much different from what we've been doing in a 3-5-2. I think Sporting Kansas City, as I mentioned earlier, is going to have a lot of the possession. I think we're going to sit back, and we're just going to try to hit them on the break, basically with Vietito on the right side. I think he's going to be our main outlet. I think we're really going to try to exploit them when they push numbers forward to get him on long passes as quick as possible out on that right side and then hope we can kind of create from there. I see us sitting back. I kind of see it playing out like the LAFC match earlier in the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, I could see it. I really like the idea that Tito's going to be huge. I think his pace has been missing in a lot of ways in attacking a back line that isn't the fastest with Ikapara back there and Matt Beisler. And Madranda is pretty fast at that left-back spot, but, it's not a speedy back line for the most part.
Yeah.
So Tito could be huge. Tito could be huge for sure. That kind of wraps it up. Joe, give us a reason. Give us a fuel to the fire to hate Kansas City.
Their home kits are absolute trash. And just, I would say their color scheme in general, I mean, it's like the most passive thing in professional sports. Baby blue, like what the hell? Like that, how can you even support a team with baby blue as one of their primary colors? Like that's just so weird. And then to combine that with just a navy blue, like come on. What the hell's going on? Have some creativity. At least if you're going to use baby blue, use some like other cool color, like a bright yellow or something. It's just terrible. I don't know. What is interesting about Sporting Kansas City? This might be kind of going into your
That leads real nice into mine. And just they're the most boring team I think I could ever think of. Johnny Russell has changed that for me. He's been a big eye opener for me. Have I talked enough about him in this age stack? I'm not sure.
You have a man crush on him. I could see it in your eyes.
I might have to go to the Sporting locker room after the game instead of the Atlanta locker room just to get a quote. I remember writing the haters guide for him last year, and all I could write about was how boring they were because I was bored researching them. They were like, even their Wikipedia page, like fun fact thing is like, oh, there was once a suburb here at this one spot and we took that suburb away and moved it. And now it's another suburb. I guess Walt Disney was there one time in his life. That's the thing.
Like the actual dude.
Yeah. He was there. Huh. He was there. For some reason.
Don't they? I'm pretty sure Kansas City has like the most fountains per capita in the world or something. Like more than
Rome. Is that them?
Italy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
That's why they have the fountains.
See, that's boring
out.
Too. God, I can never care about their stupid fountains. Like, it's like Orlando and their fountain being the symbol of the city. If you have anything fountain related that's like a key aspect of your city, you're probably trash.
God, I mean, people literally throw their change that they don't want in there. Like, God, yes. How much of a cesspool could it be?
Oh, gosh. Terrible. Terrible place. Hope we kick them. Hope we beat them at like 40. All right. Real quick, elsewhere around the league, just to kind of give it an update.
I did not know this. Sebastian Latu retired?
Today.
Oh, I missed that at work.
It's like a... unless this is like some Onion article that I picked up. I'm pretty sure it was on
MLS.com. If it happened today, I definitely would not have known about it. It's been around today.
Yeah, no, he'll sign a one-day contract, it looks like, and that'll be it for Sebastian.
The perfunctory one-day contract to retire as the Philadelphia Union?
Yep.
Is that what he's retiring as?
Exactly. Happened today. He ends his career with Philadelphia as their leader in, like, every single category, just about offensively. Pretty impressive stuff from him. So a legend.
Loved him. I always enjoyed watching him. Great finisher. Just a really solid striker.
Yeah. Your Orlando update, they've won 6 straight. They got another win against another really trash team in RSL. They keep going down 1-0 and then coming back and winning. This one, they won 3-1.
I think I heard 4 of their 6 wins. They've come back down from behind.
There you go. We'll change that Sunday. Don't worry. Yeah. We've got a special preview podcast, H-Dad thing, coming up for Orlando. It's just going to be all hate all the time. It's going to be gorgeous, I think.
The Haters Guide in audio form.
In H-Dad form.
Yeah.
The Haters Guide is going to be brutal, too. It's going to be like a haters encyclopedia. I'm just going to go all in on every aspect I can. Loon Talk. We got to get our Loon Talk in real quick. Darwin Quintero. Two goals in 4 games for the first DP in Minnesota United history. Darwin Quintero doing big work for the Loons.
They're going to ride into the playoffs on the back of this age dad. Where I feel like I kind of give us some credit for their Loons, sudden
take
resurgence.
Our energy.
Yeah.
They're in their 5th. They're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
They're in a playoff spot through 10 games or whatever it is. Only one other really interesting game kind of going on Wednesday besides ours, TFC versus Seattle in one of those games where both teams are in the midst of, like, you kind of hit like a certain age and then you kind of wake up one morning and realize you're old and disheveled. And that's kind of happening in some aspects, especially for Seattle, who's kind of aged a million years overnight and is now kind of trash. Toronto's going to be fine, but it's still funny to make fun of them for their start to their season.
Yes, sure. Seattle, like the players on Seattle definitely know when there's going to be bad weather because like their knees start hurting or something. Like they know when like literally the barometric pressure is changing because their joints start hurting.
Speaking of barometers, we talked about this game being a barometer before we really got into things here. Did the Five Stripes come out with a win? Did they come out with a game that shows they really are the best team in the league? Joe Patrick, let's get to our predictions.
Okay. Yeah. If you could not tell by now, I'm not like super excited about how this game is going to go. And I am going to go with a 1-1 clanger of a game. I think it's going to be pretty boring. I think SKC is going to have a lot of the possession. I think we'll probably hit them on the break once. I think we'll probably screw something up and they'll score on us once. And that'll probably be about it. There'll probably be some shots for either team. That's my prediction.
There will be some shots. It'll definitely be a soccer ball kicked around. Sure.
It's going to be a soccer game. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Joe Patrick, always the pessimist over there, always the Debbie Downer. You think it's going to be a clanger. While me, the eternal optimist, think it's going to be a banger. A banger coming at you. I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm not that optimistic. But I think like a crazy 3-3 kind of game is very much kind of in the cards for this one, which is probably not going to happen, but it's fun to think about. And why not? It seems like both teams can score in bunches. Let's see it happen.
It's happened before. We had a 3-3 last year against Orlando. But that's right. Yeah, it's pretty funny that we both think it's going to be a draw, just in very drastically different ways.
Different ways. Both will be extremely stressful no matter what. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Game comes up 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, right there in the bins. Get in the stadium if you aren't planning to already, or catch it on Fox Sports South.
I mean, Kevin Egan's going to be back. He'll be back in the booth from El Clasico. Right, so you got Kevin, that to look forward to. His smiling face and his cheery Irish accent.
Yeah, very nice. Along with a friend of the H dad, Jillian Sakovitz.
Yes.
He's very nice. Very nice. Big fan of Jillian. But yeah, it'd be a good game. Check it out, folks. And then, of course, check out Five Stripe Final right after that. That is our regularly scheduled post-game show live from inside the stadium. We'll go on Facebook Live, and then we'll throw out an H-Dad after the fact.
You're damn right we will.
Yeah. Dang right. Catch us at Five Stripe Final on Twitter. I'm at J_SamJones on Twitter. Check Joe Patrick out at JAPatrick200 on the Twitter sphere. Go give us 5 stars on iTunes because we take the time to do this stuff for you. Because we love you guys and we want you to love us too. And yeah, that'll do it. Wrap it up. That's Woo-hoo! It. We need a better way to end these preview shows. We usually have our shout outs on the other one, but this one, I don't know what we're.
Yeah. We haven't really fleshed this one out yet with, that, you know, that value added, bits.
That's on me.
Gotta figure it out.
I feel like
we can't just do shout. We can't do shout outs again. Like for this one, we have to have something unique.
It's much
for
too
the
much shouting.
It would be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. If you guys have any suggestions, send them our way. That'll do it. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye, y'all.
Bye.